Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson. I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning as we continue our powerful book study on the secret power of words, manifesting what you say. This book was written by our own Dr. Reggie, and I am so honored to be able to share it with you this morning. We also have Gloria Wells, who's hosting our, who moderates our chat room. I want to include her in our greetings this morning. So, and I want to welcome everybody in the chat room. They're coming in this morning. Good morning. Hey, Dr. Reggie, what about last night?
Oh, the meditation was fantastic. It really was. I really enjoy meditation, whether it's silent or guided. And a lot of times I do chanting and different exercises, but I want to make sure everybody's comfortable with meditating. It was great last night. And one of our radio listeners, Susie, came to the meditation. It was such an honor to see her. And she's a bubbly, sparkling, wonderful personality. And I loved it. So if anybody else next Tuesday wants to come to the Bunton Road Park Community Center, I would be honored to see you guys.
Oh, wow. We did have a blast, and we will be there every Tuesday night this month. We're thinking about changing locations, but definitely Tuesday seems to be our meditation night. So it was great. I love Miss Susie. Oh, my God. It was so cool to see her and meet her in person. And Reggie's right. She has a bubbly personality. Excuse me, I'm trying to drink coffee this morning and talk too. Anyway, listen, yesterday we got started in Chapter 6, The Impact of Words on Others. And I was going to end the chapter yesterday, but Dr. Reggie has so many little points in here that he wanted to bring out. He's talking about manipulation and the collective consciousness and prejudice. And even the power that our words have on animals. I just thought these are all neat little topics that we should cover complete the chapter this morning. So I'm going to ask Dr. Renji to take us into our morning prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the energy and the robust energy of everyone who listens to this broadcast, that they are blessed and empowered to engineer their words in a way that helps other people and themselves to be enlightened and uplifted. We thank you for this word study. We thank you for using Cynthia as your instrument to make these words come alive, to make the energy come alive, and in a way that everybody will understand and get something significant out of it. Touch everyone who listens. Anoint them with the power of understanding. And I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. So Dr. Reggie talks about manipulation. And, you know, that manipulation doesn't, when it's happening to you, when someone is trying to manipulate you, it's an ugly feeling, isn't it? And it's all with words a lot of times, or the unspoken word with their actions. Dr. Reggie says that the effect of words on others can easily be seen when people try to get their way with you. Someone may try to get you to do something, to give them something, to agree with their point of view or buy what they are selling. TV commercials are continuously sending us messages to buy their products, or else we'll not be in style, or we won't smell clean, or we won't have sex appeal, or we won't be healthy. So children may try to get their parents to say yes after they've said no. A financially irresponsible family member may try to get you to co-sign on a loan with them. The car dealer may try to manipulate you into a purchase you haven't budgeted for. Some people want you to think you are wrong so they can be right. The verbal arguments they use to seduce or coerce you may be very compelling, but they rarely have your best interest at heart because their words are designed to benefit someone besides you. The person may ask you to make a decision based on lies, or their emotional pleas, or even their sob stories. Communication has the ability to change someone's mind. And I mean to change someone's mind even physically, because it has been found that it alters the neural patterning. Therefore, words do have the power to manipulate other people's thinking and their behavior. And when you are tempted to comply with one of these shysters, you can use the power of your thought, your intention, your faith, and your emotion, and the word to say what? No. And you can really mean it. No. Because to do otherwise is codependent and it's unhealthy. You can stick to your word by telling yourself that what you want and what you need is just as important as what another person is telling you they want or they need. And it goes back to this. You want to love your neighbor, but you must first learn to love yourself. And sometimes that means saying no. And saying no again and again and again until others begin to believe you and it becomes natural for you to stand up for yourself. So I love what Dr. Reggie is saying here. He's saying, look, you can't control what other people are going to do. They're going to come at you left, right, upside down, around from around the corner, around the block to get whatever it is that they want from you. You cannot control that. As a matter of fact, in all of the lessons that we have had from oneness and from the way of the wizard and even spiritual partnership, we can't place a judgment on those people. They're doing whatever they need to do because it's in their divine path and for their lessons. So it's not, don't pay any attention to the fact that they're manipulating you. You just need to love yourself enough to say, you know, that is not resonating with me. I'm not feeling joyful with that right now. As a matter of fact, I'm paying attention to my power centers, and I'm feeling a little anxious about what you're saying. And I know that when those signals are going off inside of me, that it's time for me to just say no. Now, that may not be the whole conversation that you say to that person, but it is the conversation that you need to have with yourself. You're not wrong for saying where you're coming from and what your needs are, I just have to say no. And it's okay. You're loving yourself enough to say no, but you're also loving yourself enough that you can love them and not make them wrong, not be resentful. You know, the whole thing with a bully, when a bully is on the attack, is because they're afraid and they're trying to overcome their fear with these actions. But if they just love themselves and love that frightened part of themselves, there would be no need to bully. They're trying to make themselves feel better. So this is a great lesson for if you have children, to kind of talk to them about bully and how to manage bullying. You know, now we want to outlaw bullying, and I think the way we're making all these rules and regulations about bullying, but we really need to understand the nature of bullying, don't we? Which is a form of manipulation, is it not? And so we need to arm our children with loving themselves. If you love yourself, there's no need. So that's where the healing needs to take place. Is building up the self-worth of our children, their self-esteem. Okay, so if you have given your word to someone, do everything you can to keep it, or let them know that you will not be able to follow through on your commitment. You've probably heard that old saying, your word is your honor. When you make a promise, or state your assurance, your reputation and character is being noticed. When you give your word and don't keep it, you have broken a promise. And people will see you as an untrustworthy person. When you are impeccable to your word, others will have confidence in you. Wow. Others will have confidence in you. Listen, I'm going to share with you guys how Dr. Reggie and I met. Well, and I was a supervisor at a law firm in a word processing department, and I needed some temporary help. And so the temp agency sent over Dr. Reggie to work on the night shift. He was looking for some part-time work. So I go out to the reception area to meet him, and you know, as a supervisor, especially when you're not going to be there at night, you're just praying, oh, Lord, please let this work out, because I don't want to hear people complaining come tomorrow, you know, that this was messed up and this was messed up and everything. So so I was a little apprehensive, right? Anyway, to make a long story short, he did very well the first night. I got great reports, rave reviews. And so he pops in the next day just to say, hey, I just came by and I wanted to know if everything worked out. And I said, oh, sure. They loved you, and we'd like to have you to come back. And he said, great. And so then we start talking. I wanted to get to know him a little bit better. And come to find out that we were both into studying metaphysics. And he says to me, listen, I'm going to bring you a list of books that I'm sure you're going to enjoy reading. And I said, okay. And so, you know, that was the end of that. And the next day, he comes in to report to work, and he brings me a list of books. And it's, I can see it in my mind just perfectly. He had the most beautiful penmanship. That was number one. But it was a list of books, and it was that he listed in alphabetical order by the author, last name first, okay, then the first name, and then the title of the book. And I thought, oh, my God, he kept his word. You know, how many people will say, oh, I'm going to give you a list of books and never follow through on something like, it's just a little conversation. That stood out to me, that he kept his word. And then it was so neat and orderly. It just appealed to me. I'm a Virgo, so I love that neat. And that is really how we began talking to each other. I knew that there was something more to this man. And I love remembering that moment that he honored his word. And he has always honored his word. So it's important that you keep your word. Your word is your honor. Our thoughts and spoken words have an effect on our own physical bodies and our minds and souls, as well as upon others. If someone believes they're going to be sick, they will find a way to fulfill that belief. When they manifest an illness, they use it to affirm their belief using words that keep it fixed. See, I told you I was sick. And if you believe and say that you can't change, well, you probably can't. And if you believe and, in fact, those words can be so limiting, you probably won't even try to change. Little do people realize that they create their own failures and limitations by thinking and talking in a negative way. And I know some of you right now may be tuning out. Oh, I've heard that, Cynthia. I've heard that before. But I'm going to tell you the way Dr. Reggie tells it. If you are not living it, then you don't know it. If you still have drama in your life, then you need to still hear this message. If you are still unhappy at your job and where you are in your life, then you need to continue to hear this message because you're not living it. And it bothers me because the people that they'll say it to my face, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. And the people that stand up and say, oh, yeah, I've heard that, and just dismiss it, they're the same ones saying, oh, Cynthia, can you help me? Now, I just need some help. I need to, the same ones. Yeah, but I don't want to hear that stuff. It, you know, I know all of that. But you're not living it. You're not even believing it. You'll believe that you can't do better in life quicker than you believe that I have the power to change my life. Isn't that something? Why? Because you're relying on what you see. You're relying on what you see. You're relying on somebody else's experience, and they're all about creating their mess. But, well, it happened to so-and-so, and so-and-so, you know. And you're justifying why your life is screwed up. Well, then you need to continue to hear this, because this is the truth. You have the ability to change your life. I don't know why I'm going down this path this morning. I really don't. But evidently it's meant to be. We just give up. And that is the coward's way out. That is the coward's way out. You know what? If you listen to anyone who has been successful, they'll tell you about everything that went wrong for them, but how they kept going through. Tyler Perry was living out of his car. First production he did, he saved up every penny that he was working for. First production failed, bombed. Wound up living in his car, got back on his feet, saved again, and went back to do another production. You know, you learn from those bad experiences, but you cannot give up. And, you know, one of the biggest things that stand in our way is when we talk about, oh, you know, I'm too old now. I hate hearing that one. What does that mean? I'm too old. I'm too old. You're still breathing. You're still thinking. You're still living. You're still loving. Don't pay attention to that. Shift it. I'm wise. I'm valuable. Watch the words that come out of your mouth. If you're going to manipulate anybody, manipulate yourself into believing and moving into the knowledge of how powerful you are. You begin now to create more happiness and more success in your life. You think before you speak, and you always use positive statements, and you practice using replacement words until they become a natural and automatic response, because by changing your thoughts, you change your words, and by changing your words, you will change your life. You are loving you. I tell you, it's all about you. Those people say, oh, you're so selfish. Yes, I'm selfish. I know it's all about me. Yes. When I get it right for me, and I'm moving, and I'm joyful, and I'm happy, then you're going to benefit from that. You will benefit. The world benefits from it. When you move into your joy and you're expressing the gifts that God gave you, do you think the world is not going to benefit from that? Suppose that you are an engineer, I mean, just a genius at this, and you know how to find an energy source that can supply the whole world, and we're not on foreign oil anymore. But if you're not in your joy, how are you going to open the avenue to receive that information, to receive that idea? Suppose you are a massage therapist and you don't love yourself, and here you are working on somebody else's body, and then and the Holy Spirit wants to work through you, and your touch can actually heal them, but you just feel so bad about who you are and really resent the fact that, you know, you don't have any clients, and you're worried and fearful that your business can't be successful, and that energy, that healing energy, can't flow because you're blocking it because you don't love yourself. You're in fear. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And here it is, this gift that God, this healing gift that God is sending through you, you're putting up a roadblock. You've got it all dammed up because of your fear. And here's the bottom line. You may have that fear, but you even make the dam stronger because that's all you think about and that's all you talk about. And it's this gift, your gift, waiting to be expressed in humanity. And you think people aren't going to be blessed? So, yes, you need to hear these words because you need to be in control of your words and creating a magnificent life for yourself, regardless of what's coming at you. At this point, it should be a game for you. I'm a magician. Let me see how I can change all of this because, hey, they say my words have power. Let me see how powerful they are. That's what kids will do. That's what I love about kids. You tell kids, listen, your words have power. All you have to say is abracadabra and really believe in your heart and it will change. And they'll go, really? Their eyes, really? Yes, really. And I'm telling you guys what I'm saying to you right now. And you're going, oh, this woman is crazy. Oh, I don't believe this crap. I've been trying this old law of attraction stuff, and it doesn't work. Did you really try? Did you really try? Have you really tested these truth principles? And here's my thing that I want to say to you. If you're sitting in a mess and you're unhappy about it, stop and think about what you were thinking. What have you thought and what have you said? Because you can tie it right back. Your mess that you're in, you can tie it right back to how you were thinking and how you were talking and recognize that you created it. Tell me that it doesn't work. That's just, whether you believe it or not, that's how it works. And listen, we have bad habits. when I'm if I talk to you on the telephone, if you call me up on the telephone, my girlfriends will tell you. And they say some crazy stuff. They don't mean any harm, but they're just going in this flow. Well, you know, and I'm going, listen to what you're saying because you're creating. Oh, yeah, that's right. You need a policeman to catch you. You have to say to yourself, I'm going to pay attention to what I'm saying because I know that I am creating. I will pay attention to what I'm saying because I know that I am creating. And ask somebody else to work with you. Find you a partner that will, when you're talking with them on the phone and you're gossiping or whatever, that they will say, you know what, we need to stop. Oh, yeah, that's right, we do. This is not good. You need a prayer partner. That's what you need. Because the words coming out of your mouth are prayers. All right. Let's talk about collective consciousness. Our words influence everyone on the planet through the collective or mass consciousness. Perhaps I should say that it's collective unconsciousness. Because our reality is the result of the mass consciousness of all souls. Regardless of what we call it, humans have the ability to shape collective consciousness and are so affected by its pull. Collective consciousness, what is that? It is a pool that reflects both the positive and negative beliefs of mankind. You see, we're all connected. There's only one mind. There's only one mind. It is a field of awareness, and it's an intelligence that exists between human beings whereby we influence each other in very powerful ways. And we are more challenged right now with being influenced than in any other culture because we have so many mediums for communication, television, cable, satellite, all of this television coming into every, and we have it in every room in our house, right? Even in the bathroom. You can't. And then there's radio. It's in our cars. Can't get away from it. Now it's on the internet. We have the internet. All of that is feeding into our collective consciousness, and it's bombarding us all the time. And listen, anywhere somebody can get a little piece of space to do an advertisement, they're going to be sending out a commercial to you. I have a cell phone now, and I turn my cell phone on. This is the most amazing thing to me. And there's a little pop-up that comes up, ad that comes up. And I really resent it, you know, because I'm paying for this, paying for it, you know, and I just click. I don't even read the thing. But if they can find a space to shoot something to advertise, a space to advertise something, you're going to see it, especially if you're not paying for something. They're going to bombard you with messages. So, yes, we have a huge challenge now. So this, what we experience as day-to-day reality is actually the collective consciousness being reflected back to us through mass media. You can see the effect this pull has on our society. This idea was mentioned in Star Trek by Dr. Spock, who believed he could mind meld with others. And people are becoming more aware of our ability to perceive each other's thoughts and emotions. So this television thing and these movies are beginning to reveal how we're able to telepathically think and create together without communicating through the five senses. Have you noticed the trend in movies now? They're all about how we as humans have supernatural powers. I absolutely love it. And it's a shift in consciousness to make us aware that we do have supernatural powers. Listen to the word supernatural. What is it saying? It's saying it's natural, number one. There's nothing foreign about it. It's just supernatural. But it's very, very, it's natural. It's like ordinary, extraordinary, extraordinary. That's telling us something, isn't it? It's telling us that really and truthfully, we are supernatural beings and we are extraordinary people. But we have decided that we just want to be ordinary. And what is that? Just a belief, is it not? And what is a belief? A belief is just a thought that you keep thinking over and over again. So I'm telling you this morning that you are extraordinary. You are extraordinary. You're extraordinary. You are supernatural. That is your natural state. If you shift into that consciousness, then you can easily be moving to my words have power, my thoughts have power, because I am extraordinary. I am supernatural. Why can't you own that? What part of you is rejecting that truth? Let's talk about prejudice. We probably won't even get out of this one. But let's look at words and prejudice. Let's say you look around you and you'll see individuals and an array of diversity in color and culture. You'll also see rejection of the very things that gives us our uniqueness. You'll see an attempt to control and conform every individual to mold to a mold of another. When prejudice is experienced, it is like doubt, which is nothing but prayer in reverse. The prejudices of religion, the prejudices of race, the prejudice of political affiliation or nationality must be banished, because this superiority mindset has caused a major illness in the world, and that illness is judgment. Listen, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, the Bible records Jesus is saying this: do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is this huge plank in your own eye? You are a hypocrite. Because first you need to take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Check yourself first. Check yourself first. That's what that whole scripture is about. Clear out your judgment. Replace that with love. Replace that with love. So here we have this law of attraction at work. It is interesting that this passage of scripture is followed by the ask, seek, and knock verses. And that's an interesting acronym, because ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, knock, A-S-K. And perhaps we don't get answers to our prayers because there is prejudice and judgment, and they're blocking them. Both being subject to the law of attraction. You can't expect to attract acceptance and goodwill to yourself if you are sending out the vibes of judgment and prejudice. Prejudice is one of the seven solar ring karmic patterns on Earth, created by our thoughts and our words and our actions. And I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to explain to us about the seven solar karmic patterns in just a moment. But Your words and your thoughts and your actions add to the pool of collective consciousness, and all prejudice is destructive to mankind and the entire planet, because the human race and peace will not come globally until it is released. I heard this powerful message by Bashar, and I think I may have shared this with you. And one of the things he says, I don't know if it was Bashar, someplace I read this, I think it was Bashar, but it said to us, if you, your government, and I'm bringing this up because we're in the election year, in election season, and the point he made was that our government is a reflection of our mass consciousness. So if we perceive our government to be corrupt, that there's all this money flowing in, that somewhere in mass consciousness believes in the power of money. And so we have a government that is a reflection of our consciousness, where we believe in the power of money. If you want your government to change, then mass consciousness must change. They can have the government that they desire. If you want a government that is no longer corrupt, then you need to clear out the corruption in your thought consciousness. You can't walk around saying, our government is corrupt. Our government is corrupt. There's a lot of corruption. Oh, there are all politicians are all crooks. You can't continue to say that. You need to begin speaking and believing and thinking of a different way, that you have politicians that are honest, that you have what is our biggest complaint right now, I think, that the Republicans and the Democrats can't get anything done because they are in total opposition to each other. So do we need to continue to hear that and to say that if we really want them to work together? No, we need to say, you know, they have differences of opinions in terms of how to govern, and we really we send different representatives to represent how we would like to see, but we also see them working together, finding common ground for the good of the country. And it starts with you. And you get a bunch of your friends together, and that's your prayer. And then each one of them promise to get a group together, and that will be their prayer. We have to pray for this country. It's okay. I don't care if you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat. You live in this country. You want a country that works. You don't want a country that doesn't work. We all want the highest good for this country. But we have to speak it into existence. It's up to us to speak it into existence. It will be a reflection of our mass consciousness. You see, there's no way you can push off responsibility to anybody. We all have to take on the responsibility. We're all responsible. So Dr. Reggie says the human race and peace will not come globally until it was released. We have to claim peace. We have to believe peace. We have to speak peace. We cannot curse the Muslims. We can't be in fear of terrorists. We have to love them and say, what is the lesson we need to learn here? What is the lesson? What do we need to clear up in our consciousness that we don't attract that to us? Why did we attract that? Why do we attract so much hatred towards us? We need to clean that up. We need to love, love, love. And some people say that's weakness. But it's the only way. If we want peace, we have to be peace. And it starts with you. It begins with you. There's a song that they sing at the end of every unity service. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. So even in this huge world, you still have a responsibility. Take this plank that's in your eye, take that out so you can clearly see how to help your brother remove the speck that's in him. Remove your judgments, remove your fears, replace it with love, and then you can help others. So, Dr. Reggie, you talk about this thing called the seven solar ring karmic patterns.
There's certain powerful energies about karma. Of course, we know that karma talks about the law of cause and effect. Jesus called it, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In today's world, we call it what goes around comes around. And it comes in levels of seven. There are different laws of karma and rebirth. When you're reborn into a certain community, you're born into a certain family. The law of rebirth is a great national law, and it's a natural law of our planet. It's a process that is instituted and created under the law of evolution. When you're evolving, it's closely related, I guess, and conditioned by the law of cause and effect, which is a powerful a law under the energy of universal law. It's a process of progressive development, enabling men and women to move forward from the grossest forms of unthinking materialism to a spiritual perfection and an intelligent perception that will enable you to become a member of the kingdom of God.
Wow.
It's amazing to me because it accounts for the difference among everybody, men and women, everybody, connecting with the law of cause and effect. Karma is a very powerful thing. That's why it's good not to judge at all, not even in your mind. It's the expression of the will aspect of the soul. And it's a result of, you know, the form of the decision you're making and the soul in all its forms that incarnates. So you want to choose to build suitable physical, emotional, and mental relationships with everybody, a good thing, because the law of rebirth, as far as humanity is concerned, comes into activity upon the soul plane. Incarnation is motivated and directed from the soul level upon the mental plane, and it goes on, the seven solar energies from the universe, and we are souls who incarnate in groups. Cyclically, under the law of this, it's very powerful. So keep your relationship with God and your relationship with your fellow man progressive, unfolding, and loving.
Wow. I think this is a perfect place for us to end and move into our closing prayer. I love you guys this morning. Look, you know, I knew that this was going to be a powerful lesson. But Dr. Reggie, can you go ahead and take us into our prayer? Tomorrow we're going to move into Chapter 7.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we are so gracious and so humble and in awe of your majestic unfolding in our lives. Let our souls always unfold naturally. Let us not judge. Let us not worry. Let us learn to always pray and be in thoughtful prayer at all times. Not to judge people by their national origin, by their culture, by their skin color, by their religion, or their political affiliation. Let us learn to accept things as they are, because what we have now is all there is. Let us learn to evolve and unfold naturally under the laws of the universe. Let us be that sparkling diamond, the royal diadem that comes forth from your kingdom, and let us have that power on earth, and our lives will follow. I believe it is so. And so it is.
And so it is. You guys have a blessed day. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the impact of your words upon your life. Of course, this, as far as I'm concerned, everything we've talked about has been the impact of our words on our life, but we're going to focus on that tomorrow. God bless.
Very good.